Welcome to the Bible Temple Tape Family. The tapes you will receive are from services recorded at Bible Temple in Portland, Oregon, USA. If our tapes bless you, we encourage you to write us and let us know.
We're ready to praise the Lord. If you're new with us tonight, we like to do this every day, but we only get the occasion once a week, maybe twice, and we're just here to praise Jesus. Amen. He's our Savior and our Lord. We're here to lift Him up. Amen. And everybody that's a part of the family said, amen, and said, praise the Lord. Ready? Praise the Lord. Let's sing it again. Praise the Lord. Sing it, please.
Thank you.
need. We're at His feet. We're coming to His table. We're in His presence. And whatever our need is, I just exhort you, encourage you now. Reach out to Him. Just reach out to His presence, to His name, to who He is, the Lord God Almighty, able to meet every need. That is presence minister. I just felt like I should exhort as we go on to sing these next few songs. Reach out and touch Him. Reach out and touch the hem of His garment and prepare your heart for a visitation, for coming to His table and partaking of His healing and of His power, and for hearing His word and have it broken as bread for you tonight to feed your soul. Let's reach out and touch Him. Amen. As we sing these next few songs. Hallelujah. We love You, Jesus. Jesus, we love You, Jesus. Jesus, worship, worship Jesus. His presence with singing.
John, the 17th chapter, 2 weeks ago, we spoke from this subject. Last week, Brother Bill took my place, and he actually spoke on one of the subjects that I wanted to give you that originated from this slip of paper that we all gave one Sunday as to the blessings, the ways of the blessings of the house of the Lord, and the ways to lose the blessing of the house of the Lord. And I said there was three, I felt, crucial areas that must be in every single house. Some of them, you might say, could be a little weak here and there and still have great blessing, and it's true. But there are three that I feel that there are no substitutes. There may be many more than three, but there are three that I consider top priority for a Christian church where the Holy Spirit is present. It takes more than just that, people coming together and Spirit-filled. There are three other areas. And Brother Bill Scheidler spoke last Sunday. If you weren't here, you should get the tape, because it was one of the keys. It was one of the keys of maintaining a spiritual house. But I wasn't done the week before, and so I'm going back to the week before. John 17 is the prayer of Jesus. We spoke to you at that time concerning the importance of harmony and unity in the house of the Lord. The prayer of Jesus is found here in verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for those which shall believe on me through their word. John 17:20. That they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, this is a verse I want to draw your attention to, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. The glory which thou gavest me, this thought of glory here is a brightness, it's a demonstration of God through Jesus Christ. It's the outward glow, the outward demonstration, the beauty. The beauty that you have given me, I've given them. I've put upon them the spirit of glory, as the scripture says, that they might be one, even as we are one, that the world, in verse 23, may know thou hast sent me. God has given to us his glory, so that the world might believe. And he ties glory with unity, harmony. Now, I know we can become very abstract on this, and I've heard, as you have, some great messages on the prayer of Jesus. I've heard messages how God wants a worldwide demonstration of Jesus' prayer. And I believe there's a truth, a worldwide demonstration of oneness. I've heard messages how God wants a great city expression of the oneness that Jesus manifested with his Father. And that's a great truth, and we believe in it. But today I'd like to bring it down so you can walk in it. Because I believe that he used very practical terms when he described this prayer. And he says, as me, Jesus, and the Father are one, so should you, disciples, be one. And he was talking to a group of men who were going to go out and be a demonstration of the glory of God. And they heard these words, and the Bible tells us that they did something about these words. I don't have time to go through all the scriptures. But one of the most obvious things that you will discover in the early church, that the Holy Spirit chose to use a little word prior to the release of what we might call the glory of God through His people. And this is the word He uses. You'll find it in Acts 1, Acts 2, Acts 4, Acts 5, Acts 15. This little cliche, the Holy Spirit said, and they were in one accord. The Holy Spirit said, and they were in one accord. And He was talking about a handful of people, 120, however many there was. And He said, and they were in one accord. Now, whenever you find this word, one accord, where the Holy Spirit chose to draw our attention to it, if you read on just a verse or two after it, you will always find something exciting happening. And they were in one accord. And they preached the gospel with boldness. And many were added to the church. And they were in one accord. And the place was shaken. And they were in one accord. And the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And they were in one accord. And they went out and healed the sick. You'll find it all the time. Every single time. It doesn't just say, and they were in one accord, da 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 da. It says, and they were in one accord, and something happened. There was a demonstration of the glory that was given to them by Jesus that Jesus had. He transferred it. He transferred this beauty, this visible manifestation of His life. He transferred it. But He always prefaced it by saying, and they were in one accord. And then the glory was seen over and over again. We could really say glory and unity are synonymous. They're nearly the same. There is a difference, but they are nearly the same. If there's going to be any glory, there's going to be unity. If there's unity, there's going to be glory. They're a package. You can't separate them. No way. If there's no unity, there is no glory. There's no beauty. And if there's beauty around, there's unity around. Now that starts right here. That starts with you individually. If you don't accept yourself, if you rank yourself down all the time and you belittle yourself, and you say, I'm nothing, I can't do anything, I'm no good, and I'll never make it, and you just knock yourself down, you're one person that God cannot live through. Now, you're not unsaved, but you will not be a demonstration of God's glory. The Bible says you got to love yourself, and then you're able to love. But if you don't love yourself, you hate yourself, you can't demonstrate any love. So if you don't have it put together as an individual, you're not going to show any glory. You got to come together. You got to accept yourself. You got to say, I'm accepted in the Lord. I'm going someplace. Not by works of righteousness, but by His grace, I'm going to make it. Now, that's the way the Bible talks. I can do all things through Christ. Greater is He that's in me. That's my attitude towards myself. Not any good thing in me as far as my own works and strength, but I see Jesus in me. And I see as long as I walk with Him, I've got it made. I can't fail. I can't turn out bad. I can't faint. As long as I walk with Him. But if you don't have any respect for yourself, there will be no demonstration of the glory of God. And you may wonder why you just can't seem to release this dynamo of power that's all throughout the Bible. How come I can't? It says He shall receive power, be a witness. Well, I'd start with myself. And I'd check up on myself and say, how am I doing? Are you doing okay down there? Or are you fighting down there? Is there just a war and condemnation? The Bible says if our hearts condemneth us not, then what? Then we have confidence in God that we can ask what we will and shall be done. But if that heart condemns you, no display of glory. No display of glory. So you got to start with yourself. No matter who you are, if you're a Christian, spirit-filled, you better make sure you're getting along with yourself. Then the next dimension is your home. There can be no demonstration of the glory of God in your home if you're not getting along. Just nothing. I spoke to the teenagers on Friday night and told him how I was really thrilled about their lifestyle, how they really love God. And, oh, I know they have their problems and they drop the ball now and then, but basically they're solid kids that love Jesus. They made up their mind they're going to serve God. But I told them I've had the sad experience of going into churches where the young people had been devastated by sin. They were in drugs. Promiscuous sex was raging among them. And I've seen that congregation, and every single one is alike. Young people fade towards the back, sit back there, bored to tears, can't hardly wait to get the thing over with so they can go out and live it up. And hear the adults, children maybe with them, but the teenagers are sitting there and the adults are trying their very best. But I look at their face and I see these dark circles under their eyes. They're trying to worship God and they're trying their best to set the example. But something's missing. Something's missing. There's a glory that should be there and among them that's not there. You know, though we've been privileged not to have heavy problems, but we're like any other family. One or more members once in a while gets out of sorts. And I sit around my table at home and there's that one, and she's out of sorts. I have to say she, because I don't have anybody, she. And she's out of sorts, and she's pouting or mad, or that spirit of rebellion, or she didn't like the way the chips fell, or she didn't feel she was treated right, or some other reason. Sit there gloomy. No matter how the rest of us try to have a good time and pretend that, I won't name her, pretend that she's not sitting there with this attitude. There's something missing around that table. You just can't get with it like you normally would. You just can't quite have that joyful spirit around the table. Until finally something happens to that one and their attitude changes and they're with it. And then we have an expression of love and joy and peace and righteousness, and it's exciting. When the homes are injured, no matter how it happened, when it's injured, when they're injured, you can go on serving God and you have to go on. But it's difficult. The edge is gone. The edge is gone. It's hard. You parents know what I'm talking about that have experienced the devastation of a life right in your home. You love God and you want to go on, but and you can get lost in God for a while, but then all of a sudden he or she, that son or daughter, flashes through your mind and you think, well, where is he? Where is she? That's a heavy one. Listen to me closely today, because I think what I'm saying today is one of the most important things I've ever shared. And I've shared it before, I want to share it again. I said glory and unity are nearly synonymous, because the Bible uses them as having to be joined together in order for one or the other to be expressed. Over in Isaiah, the prophets talk about the last days. I want you to turn there. It's a familiar scripture. God gave Sister Doris Landers the song, Arise and Shine. We sang it for years. But it's probably one of the most important lessons as a church we could learn right now. If we really hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. He says, arise and shine, for thy light is come. Light is truth. Light is Jesus. He is the truth. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Isaiah 60, verse 1. That's a song we love to sing. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. The glory. Now, this glory, again, is this demonstration of the Lord. Because he's come. Because light has come. The demonstration of this light is going to arise upon thee. It has risen upon thee. And then in verse 2, it talks about the negative. In the midst of this, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. And his glory. Now remember, the prayer of Jesus. And the glory that I have, that you gave to me, Father, I've given to them. They might be one. The world might believe. That was his prayer. And here he's prophesying about it in the Old Testament. And he says, and the glory shall be seen upon thee. Now remember, glory in unity. No unity. No glory. No unity, no glory. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. What are they looking for? The glory. And glory is dependent upon unity. And they were in one accord. And the glory of God, through different manifestations of power, was revealed. I remember in the late 60s, when my oldest children were in their teens, and this drug culture broke upon the scene and swept across America out of Berkeley, and the riots were in the streets, and it was the first time we'd seen a generation rise up in utter defiance of everything that was held dear by this great nation and just rank it down, everything. And it was a shock to all of us that were of the next generation. How men and or girls and boys could just blow it all, just blow it. Their minds, their morals, everything. I remember fear coming upon me one day, and it shook me. It really shook me. Well, I knew what the Bible says. In the last days, things are going to wax worse and worse. When that happened, I said to myself, it's terrible now, and it's going to get worse. And then my heart just almost stopped beating when I thought, what is going to happen to my daughters? What is going to happen to my children? And fear just grabbed me. Am I going to lose them? Are they going to be wasted also? And it was this scripture that I've never let go of. I've never let go of this scripture. And the Gentiles, the heathen, the unsaved shall come to thy light. He's talking about God's people where there's glory. And glory and unity are synonymous. And kings are those in the authority to the brightness of thy rising. Verse 4. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. They all gather themselves together. I like that. And they shall come to thee. And here's the promise. And I know as I'm speaking, hearts are aching because you're thinking about your own son or your own daughter that maybe right now is not here in the house of the Lord or is not serving God. And I'm hurting you by reminding you of it. But here's what the Bible says. And thy son shall come from afar. Those backslidden children that are crushing you parents in spirit whenever you think about it. God said, wherever this happens, it's going to draw. Wherever the glory is, Wherever the glory is, it's going to draw these sons, these children that are afar off. It's going to draw them. Thy son shall come from afar. What a promise. And thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. I remember one large Pentecostal denomination wrote in their magazine a number of years ago. I could hardly believe it. They said, we lose 80% of our teenagers to the world in their late teens. 80%, only 20%. This was one of the large Pentecostal denominations. Put it in their own magazine. Only 20% make it through those teen days serving God without blowing it and wasting their lives. But many of these 80% will come back later, but broken and mangled, two or three marriages later, and all the rest of the problems. I read that scripture, and the Bible tells me, and you read it carefully, it says just that, thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. But now there was conditions in this passage. The conditions was the glory of the Lord. Now you see, since I'm a grandfather, I can relate to you grandfathers. I could possibly sit in a rocking chair waiting for Jesus to come. And say, well, I've lived now all these years. And I've raised my family almost. And I know things are bad. Tough, no joy, no nothing. But someday Jesus is going to come. We're all going to go to heaven. There's going to be joy and happiness in heaven. Until then, I'm just going to rock away and wait for Jesus to come. Now, you teenagers want to join? It's going to be a tough old life. The devil's around, Antichrist, communism. It's going to be a long, tough one. You hold on to the end, you get to heaven someday, I hope. Come join me, will you? Now you know what's going to happen. We're not going to buy it. They're not going to buy it. Because there's something in a young person that's alive. He wants to be where the action is. He wants to be where it's really at. And if the house of God is not where it's at, then he doesn't want to be there. That's what the glory is all about. This expression, this beautiful expression of the life of God. That's what draws people. Not Christian movies on Sunday night to hold the young people. Get a good rock, Christian rock band in here to try to hold them and keep them and, you know, hook them a little bit so they don't get out of here. That's not going to work. Never will work. Never will work. Only one thing is going to work in this last days, and Jesus promised it. He says that's wherever the glory of God, they're going to come run. Anywhere I have been, where the glory and presence of God is visibly manifested, you never have a shortage of young people. Never. Never, 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 never. I don't care what country of the world's in. But wherever I've been and there's been no glory, guess who's missing? Now the children are there because they got to be there. You know. And the older people, they got to be there too because they're getting grandpas and they're thinking, oh, one of these days, you know. But especially those teenagers and those single kids. They're not there. But God said, wherever there's glory, wherever there's a manifestation of the life of God, they're going to come. The backsliders are going to come zooming in the door. They say, I don't like it out there. I want where there's light. I don't like the darkness no more. Oh, the filth and all the ungodliness is messing me up. I want to find Jesus. Because they see it works. Now, as far as I am concerned, the most important thing we can do in the house of the Lord is to maintain unity. Because if we don't maintain unity, we'll never see the glory of God. We can give you the best doctrine you've ever heard. We can have it right spot on. And nobody can ever attack our doctrinal positions because we've got the best theologians in the whole country and we've got it, truth. But that won't hold them alone. It will not hold people. Now, a lot of churches try to hold them by doctrine, and I'm not putting doctrine down. We have a Bible college. We teach here more than probably most churches, but that's not the key. The key is the love of the brethren, the unity of the house of God. And they were in one accord. And, brother, things happen. Things happen. Let me just close with one scripture, because I'm not done. I could take another hour. I haven't even got to my notes yet. One scripture that ties glory and unity together is Psalms 133. Can we read that together? Would you turn there? As we're turning there, let me remind you of this. In case you didn't know it, and hang on, folks. I am not perfect. Oh. And in case you didn't know it, they're not either. Don't go backslide now. Just in the house of the Lord, you're going to have contradictions. Did you know that? How many have found contradictions in your natural house? How many have had disagreements? Anybody ever not have disagreements with your dad and mom and brothers and sisters? You see, that's unimportant. It's how you handle them. You may not like decisions that are made by the leadership of this church, and that's your prerogative. You know, you got a mind and you can add up, and it doesn't add up for you. Well, that's fine. But what do you do about the disagreements? See? You can rent and tear and gossip and murmur and complain and grumble and gripe and just rip and rip and rip and rip if you want to. But you know who's going to lose in the end? You're going to lose. As well as the body of Jesus Christ, if that would ever get started. And then what happens? Who makes the first exit? The young people. Then we come together with the dark circles under our eyes and try to worship God and try to... And it's too late. Because we lost the glory. Because we lost the unity. So I'm not asking you to always agree with the decisions of the leadership. And I hope you heard that prophetic word this morning. Did you hear that prophetic word about standing with the leadership, protecting them? For if the devil can smite the shepherds, he'll scatter the sheep. That means you're going to be scattered from your own children. That's a serious thing. As we come into days of major decisions that involve money, you cannot reach anybody any closer than their money. And we say, we need money. He said, bless God, they're not getting none of mine. And you go home in your car and the pastor was up there and said, come on, let's believe God for more money. And you say, that's all they want out of me is my money. And little ears are perking up. How foolish. How foolish. We're coming into, as I said before, the most exciting days this church has ever had. Because we're going, I don't know what's going to happen. But it's going to be exciting. But it's going to be taxing. It's going to be difficult. We're going to be meeting in strange places. We're going to have all kinds of unusual changes in the next year. Very difficult. We're going to say, look, we only got $137,000. We need $400,000 to break ground by the end of March. Now, did we believe God or didn't we? There they go again. They're going after money. Unity is the most important commodity in the Spirit-filled church. And that's the thing he'll hit the first. He'll magnify my goofs and the elder's goofs and the under-shepherd's goof. He'll just magnify them. He hands you the biggest magnifying glass you ever had in your life. And you can see an atom with it. And it'll be a monster. Stand and let's close by reading Psalms 133. And I pray the Holy Spirit will speak to all of us as we read this in the light of what we've said in the last few minutes. Psalms 133. Read it with understanding. Read it carefully. Read it with faith. And let us practice it. Psalms 133, let's read together. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Would you read verse 3 with me? In fact, let's read it all again. That's only 3 verses. Let's read it one more time. Okay? Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the beard that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of the garments, and the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lord, we just thank you for this time that you've allowed us to be together. We've had a great time this morning. We've sung and blessed you and worshiped you, came to your table and prayed for your people. You've touched us. We've just had an exciting morning. Lord, there's no place that we could duplicate 2 hours like this. No place in the whole world could we ever duplicate an atmosphere like this. We ask you to help us so we never ruin it, never break it, never take it for granted, never violate it. Oh Lord, we prayed against our enemies that were living comfortably with some of us, enemies of hatred, animosity, bad attitudes. We put them under our feet, Lord, this morning, as you spoke to us. Lord, when we walk out of this place this morning, they're going to stay under our feet. We're going to rule over those enemies. And those brothers and sisters, Lord, that have agitated us in the past, we're going to ask you for an increased measure of love. And we can really embrace them as our brothers and sisters. For Lord, above all, we want your glory. We want your glory in our house. We want you to reign over us and let the beauty of Jesus be demonstrated in the congregation of the Lord. We want to be up at that place where you command life and even blessing forevermore. So let this word be heard by our spirit, by the inner man. And let us, Lord, practice everything that you've taught us in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.